This is DW News live from Berlin. The UN Security Council steps up efforts to end the bloodshed in the Middle East. In Gaza, the desperate search for survivors goes on after another round of Israeli airstrikes. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu tells his people Israel's military campaign is continuing at full force. Also coming up on the show, growing anger against the government in Colombia. Protesters set fire to a police station where a woman was allegedly abused. The authorities call it terrorism. And India struggles to deal with huge numbers of COVID-19 dead. Villagers find hundreds of bodies washed up along the banks of the River Ganges. Hello, I'm Claire Richardson. A very warm welcome to the show. We start with the latest developments in what is now a seven-day conflict between Israel and Palestinian militants. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has told Israel that attacks are continuing at full force and will take time to complete. He was speaking as international diplomatic efforts toward a ceasefire gather pace. The UN Security Council has debated the conflict virtually, but without issuing a statement. And while diplomats talk, the violence continues.
Rockets streaking into the sky as Hamas continues its attacks on Israel. Wrecked buildings and burned-out cars, proof that not all missiles are intercepted by Israel's defenses. Even in calm moments, the tension is palpable. Life here is not simple. It is living with the fear that you never know if a rocket will hit you. There are rocket attacks which come without warning. As you see, people are walking around as usual, like a daily routine, but it's quite distressing. Israel is countering Hamas rockets with a fierce air campaign. Gaza officials say dozens of people, including children, were killed on Sunday. That would be the highest death toll since the airstrikes began, leaving Palestinians to mourn their dead. This father, himself wounded in an airstrike on his house, breaks down as he bids his daughter a final goodbye. The UN has called for an end to the bloodshed.
The current hostilities are utterly appalling. This latest round of violence only perpetuates the cycles of death, destruction and despair, and pushes farther to the horizon any hopes of coexistence and peace. Fighting must stop.
But Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is in no mood to rein in his powerful military. We will continue for as long as it takes to bring back peace to you, the citizens of Israel. It will still take some time. Even as he spoke, Palestinian youths and Israeli security forces clashed in the West Bank, a reminder that prolonging the conflict carries the risk of broadening it.
And for more, let's bring in DW's Tanya Kramer in Jerusalem and our Washington bureau chief, Inez Pohl. Tanya, I'd like to start with you. We've had reports of more attacks by both Israel and Hamas in the last few hours. What more can you tell us?
Well, there have been still incoming rocket fire into southern Israel mainly, but we've seen also a larger barrage of rockets in the late afternoon towards the cities in the south, to Be'er Sheva, Ashkelon, Ashdod. At the same time, airstrikes continue into Gaza. And we've seen today it was a difficult day for Gaza with many casualties there and also very long rescue mission to retrieve people from under the rubble of a residential building that was targeted in the morning. And hospitals there are saying they are overwhelmed with incoming injured people there. In other news, also what has just happened is that a synagogue bleacher collapsed near Jerusalem in the city of Givat Zev, in a settlement there. It's according to Magen David Adom, we are talking here about 60 injured people, 10 of them in critical condition. And this just happens as people here are celebrating Shavuot, the Jewish holiday.
So more news of terrible bloodshed. Inez, I'd like to turn to you for the view from Washington, which is, of course, crucial. Now, the UN Security Council has been meeting virtually on this conflict. Is there any hope of a breakthrough given the United States' position of unwavering support for Israel?
Well, many council members, Claire, do think that Israel's actions are illegal and that its use of deadly force is just disproportionately harsh. So there is building up some pressure on Israel, but on the other hand, there's absolutely no doubt at this point that the United States would veto any harsh action against Israel.
Okay, Tanya, let's take it back to you then. As we've heard, the Israeli prime minister has said Israel's operations will continue. But meanwhile, efforts at a ceasefire are also ongoing. Where do we stand with those?
Well, it's hard to say at the moment. They're really contradicting reports we are getting here. It's true that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said he wants to continue this, despite the pressure that is certainly mounting from the international community because also of the humanitarian situation in Gaza that's deteriorating by the minute. But he will also look at his domestic policies here. There are a lot of people who want him to continue this operation to achieve a decisive victory for Israel. Now, we understand that Egypt and other countries, United Nations, are mediating. There are all kind of efforts behind the scenes. Also, the U.S. Special Envoy Hadi Amr is still in the country trying to mediate. So I think we have to wait and see whether this will achieve any results, because we are getting here really conflicting reports whether we are near or still a bit far off from a ceasefire.
So these domestic considerations are, of course, crucial in understanding the conflict. Inez, I'd like to go back to you in Washington, D.C., and ask what kind of pressure the Biden administration is facing at home to try to put a stop to the conflict.
Right, just what Tanya Kramer said for Benjamin Netanyahu is also true for President Biden. He's very much focused on domestic issues in these first months of his presidency. We have to understand that his main take is really to create jobs. And for this very ambitious plans, he just needs the support of every single Democratic House member, as he has only a razor-thin majority. Why do I say that? I say that because the rather left-leaning part of his party, of the Democratic Party, is getting really louder, and they're wanting the president to be more forceful in his actions, especially after the bombing of the media tower in Gaza.
All right, thank you very much. That was Inez Pohl in Washington, D.C., and Tanya Kramer in Jerusalem. Thank you so much both for your reporting. And let's turn our attention now to some other stories making headlines at this hour. Chileans are heading to the polls in a second day of voting to elect lawmakers who will create a new constitution. Anti-government protests 2 years ago centered on demands for a new legal framework. The existing arrangements date back decades to the autocratic rule of General Augusto Pinochet. And in Croatia, voters are casting their ballots in local elections. The elections for city mayors are seen as a major test for the ruling center-right party, the Croatian Democratic Union. The ballot in the capital Zagreb comes 3 months after the death of its long-serving mayor. Pope Francis has held a special mass for Myanmar. He called for peace and an end to the violence that has left hundreds dead. Myanmar's military seized power in a coup in February, derailing progress toward democracy. And in India, at least six people have been killed by a cyclone approaching southern and western areas. Tens of thousands of residents are being evacuated from low-lying ground. The cyclone is expected to make landfall in Gujarat with winds of up to 175 kilometers an hour. Also in India, the spread of the coronavirus appears to be slowing. Cases have fallen for a third day in a row. That's raising hopes that the worst could soon be over. Now, despite that piece of good news, deaths from COVID-19 are still rising. More than 4,000 people have again died within a single day.
Bodies strewn along the riverbank. Victims of India's coronavirus catastrophe. The Ganges meanders through our village and the water flows very slowly here, so the bloated corpses get caught on the riverbank. It's turned the whole area into a pile of bodies. As desperation takes hold in the scramble for COVID-19 vaccines and treatment, India's second wave is also affecting the disposal of the dead. State officials believe some families are unable to afford the costs of cremation as demand skyrockets. According to official numbers, India has suffered nearly 4,000 deaths per day for over a week. But the true death toll may be even higher. Wherever they can, people are taking advantage of other people's misery. I saw it at a cremation site where they were charging exorbitant fees. Relatives are helpless as they have no other choice. They have to pay whatever is demanded, no matter how unreasonable.
People are buying in lakh rupees.
There are small signs of improvement. The rapid spread of the virus seems to be slowing, sparking hope that social distancing measures may be starting to have an effect. More vaccines are also on their way. A second batch of Russia's Sputnik V landed on Sunday. But getting enough vaccine to protect India's 1.3 billion population will take time. For now, Indians are left picking up the pieces of the devastation left behind.
And to Colombia now, where demonstrations against the government are intensifying. In one city, protesters have set fire to a police station after a teenage detainee who claimed she was abused by officers committed suicide there. More than 40 protesters have died in weeks of clashes.
The office of the so-called Immediate Reaction Unit police force in the city of Popayan set ablaze after allegations of abuse of a detainee who later took her own life. The alleged incident of abuse upped the ante for activists in cities like Bogota. The protests actually started April 28th to oppose suggested tax increases on fuel, wages, and pensions. Those proposals were withdrawn, but they helped pull young people onto the streets as reports emerged of police brutality, deaths, and disappearances. The violence, the excessive use of the police and the armed forces in general have touched my emotions, so it was obvious that I would come and speak out. We have a clear agenda: police reform and the scrapping of the health law. And how does this government respond? Assaulting our sisters, killing us. This is a clear example of social discontent. This is no longer about political parties. People are tired of the killings. That's why we're here. Colombia's Deputy Attorney General says a task force has been formed to look into allegations of police abuse. The government has shown interest in meeting with protesters as well, but tear gas, death, and disappearances have kept opposition leaders on the streets, trying to dodge whatever security forces are throwing their way.
And let's get an update from the Bundesliga. It is the second to last match day of the season, so we can take a look at all the results so far. Dortmund secured a Champions League spot by beating Mainz. Augsburg avoided relegation by beating Bremen. Hertha Berlin beat the drop with a draw against Cologne. Bielefeld and Hoffenheim grabbed a point each. And Freiburg held champions Bayern Munich to a draw. Now relegated Schalke stunned Champions League hopefuls Frankfurt. Leverkusen shared the spoils with Union Berlin. And Stuttgart downed Gladbach. Now underway, Leipzig versus Wolfsburg. And now let's take a quick look at the Bundesliga standings with one round left to play. Wolfsburg and Frankfurt are still jostling for the final Champions League spot. One of them will join Leverkusen in the Europa League. And down at the bottom, things are incredibly tight with Bielefeld, Bremen and Cologne still threatened with relegation. And the late basketball great Kobe Bryant has been inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame. He was killed last year in a helicopter crash. Bryant had played his entire career with the Los Angeles Lakers and won 5 NBA championships with the team. The 18-time All-Star is being honored with a special exhibit called Kobe, A Basketball Life that explores his prolific career. Well, Bryant was inducted by Michael Jordan, the only other player to get his own section.
Last February, that is, I called Michael
That's your news update at this hour. Coming up after the break is our digital magazine show Shift, which asks whether online hate speech should be censored. I'm Claire Richardson in Berlin. For me and the whole